Welcome everyone to the Success Circle Q&A call, and the purpose of, actually I want to welcome existing Success Circle members and brand new Success Circle members, so if you're brand new to this call, just to give you an update of what the Q&A call is all about. As you're implementing the entrepreneurial edge system, you're going to run into questions or just in the regular nature of running your business. The idea of the Q&A call is to cut through all the work that you're going to have to do. Chances are we probably run into a solution that you're seeking or the question that you have. So submit your questions. What I like to do is if you do have a question, I like for you to come on to the call live so that I could coach you through that question. That's really the power of what happens when you're in a collective group, too, is you can take advantage of these calls. And it can be anything from, social media question to a question about fulfillment, which actually we do have a question today about fulfillment I'm going to be answering. Just to a simple, question of feeling overwhelmed and what's the first step you should take. So whatever the question, no question is too silly to address it on the Q&A call, because the reality is if you have that question, somebody else in the Success Circle has it too. And so so feel free. Again, you can send your questions to info@accelerateassociates.com. Again, that's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com. And just to make sure that you're up to speed on all the upcoming events that I want you to make sure that you take advantage of, June 14th. At 4:30, June 14th at 4:30 Eastern Time, is the high content call. It's the high content call, June 14th, Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's called Creating a Buzz, Getting Content to Go Viral. Now, many of you might have met Laura Rubenstein, a social media expert, who was also at my latest 3-day intensive, and she's going to be coming back for that high content call and sharing all about how to really create a buzz on social media and how do you get people to share your content so that it goes viral and people hear about you, and she's going to be sharing more about that. So stay tuned to not only your Success Circle announcements, but also updates in the Accelerator e-zine that you get. A brand new e-zine is going out this Thursday with brand new content, so look for that. Also, June 16th, a free webinar. It's called The 7 Amazingly Desirable Strategies to Double Your Income. 7 Amazingly Desirable Strategies to Double Your Income. So if you go to accelerateassociates.com and go into the events section and just go to the calendar where it says June 16th, you can get the link to that. But for those of you who are on the call, I'll give you the link. It's kind of long, so if you have if you have a pen and paper, it's free business plan. format.com. That's free business plan format.com/7 desirable strategies. So let me say that again, free business plan format.com/7 desirable desirable strategies, strategies. And if you go to that website, you can register to be on the free webinar, and lots of high content there. I'm going to give you some pretty interesting strategies to double your income with less effort. Because it's not about working harder, it's about working smarter, right? So those are the two main events that are coming up in June, so I look forward to seeing you there. Also, a reminder about June 14th, if you haven't yet registered for your, or scheduled rather, your laser coaching call. Again, those are happening on Tuesday, June 14th. So you will want to get that scheduled before all the spots go away. So important date there if you don't already have it scheduled. Okay, let's start with the questions. I had a lot of write-ins today. Apparently with the great weather that we're having, it seems like all over the country, people are having a lot better weather than they used to, or had this week. But there are a number of people who couldn't make it, but they wanted their question to be answered. And remember, this program, or this session is recorded, so in case you do miss it, or you missed parts of it, or maybe you couldn't take notes as quickly as I was going, you can catch the replay on the Success Circle membership site. You've received your links and your passwords, and you know, you can go in there, go into the audio library, and you can pick up the latest. Usually within about 24 hours, we have that posted. So by the next morning at 9 o'clock, we usually have that posted for you to listen to. Okay. First question, what fulfillment do you use for CDs and DVDs? That's a really great question. And the answer is in your resources Rolodex. So, for those of you who purchased the self-study program of the Entrepreneurial Edge system, or if you attended my live event, simply go into the resources section and go into your resources Rolodex, and you'll see there's all the contact information for CD and DVD fulfillment, which is by Vervante, and that's one of the resources there, so feel free to go in the back there. Feeling overwhelmed. This is a question. I'm feeling overwhelmed. What do I do? And I believe this came from an individual who attended the 3-day intensive. First of all, when you attend a 3-day intensive, it's very common to feel, because you're changing a lot of things, and you're changing a lot of things usually all at once because you've been doing things, a lot of things that haven't worked, and now you're learning all the things that are working, and you're trying to figure out how to get it all systematized, how to get it all done. One of the very first steps that I recommend is that you go into the resources section of your binder. In that section, you're going to find something called an action plan. That action plan has a bunch of boxes on it, and it's essentially everything that is covered in the system. Now, it does not have to all be updated, you know, all at once. In fact, it's impossible to do it all in a day, right? It's kind of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Not that you would eat an elephant, but you get the drift. And when you take that action plan, realistically, as you're going through your business blueprint and going through the business blueprint template step by step, when you get to the objective section and the action items, it's important to, you know, take a realistic look at that action item list and see where it falls in. Remember, you have the 3 to 5 goals first. And then the goals are broad in general. So let's say, for example, you have a broad goal that you're going to increase your, I don't know, your increase your revenue by 50% this year. Or you're going to double your income. One of the first things, and so that's your goal. It's a broad representation of the direction that you're going in. Now, the objective is going to be more narrow. So as you look at your objective, what is the objective? Maybe you're going to implement or complete, let's say just complete, your business blueprint, and then remember to ground it in a time frame. So when are you going to do that? Now that objective to complete your business blueprint is attached to your financial goal, right? Because you need to know how you're going to get there, and you're going to get there by completing your business blueprint. And what you'll notice is as you start plugging in all the things that you need to do on your business blueprint, you're not going to get it all done. in a day. Remember, it has to be grounded in a time frame. So as you begin to plug in all these activities and the things that need to be implemented, you're going to see that, gee, maybe I can get this done this quarter, but I really need to get this done next quarter, and maybe something in the third quarter, and then another thing in the fourth quarter. Now, as you map out in your business blueprint is like your map, you're going to realize, gee, okay, what resources, what additional resources do I need to get this done? Now, remember, leverage is about, you know, reorganizing your time and getting other people to assist you, and or taking advantage of the existing resources, because there's something, you know, a lot of people forget about, and that is everything that you need is in your life right now. But yet, when you put your plan together, you're thinking about what you don't have versus what you do have. And so then that overwhelm starts. So I recommend that people always look at their business blueprint, and that is your day-to-day thing that you look at and say, okay, what am I going to focus on today? Now, making sure that that blueprint also gets systematized so you have things on your calendar that coincide with the things that you've put on your blueprint. This is how things get done and how you stop the overwhelm. Try to make sure that you're also asking yourself, is this realistic? Remember, your objectives need to be smarter, specific, harmonious, attainable, realistic, time frame. And grounded in a time frame. So make sure you go through that exercise. When you find yourself completing that business blueprint, and for some people it is a full year that they go through and they start implementing different things, and they realize very quickly that they're ahead of schedule. So don't be afraid to overestimate the amount of time things will take. But on the same token, remember to check off those things as you complete your business blueprint, those things that you've already accomplished. Now, there may be some things you can put on your blueprint that you know you're going to accomplish in the next week. Put them on there anyway. Why? Because you get the satisfaction of being able to start checking stuff off. And before you know it, that overwhelm will subside. But those are some suggestions that I have. The tools that you have, use the tools. And systematizing your business, you know, doesn't happen all at once. It's over a period of time where you get regular things scheduled, and before you know it, you're creating a habit for yourself. And that habit is, oh, wait a minute, do I have this on my calendar? And if it's not on your calendar, you quickly realize, oh, I need to put this on my calendar. So it's no longer about trying to fit things in, schedule them. That's when you'll start creating momentum. If you have a regular, you know, hard networking organization that you belong to, that, you know, whether it's Rotary or BNI or LBN or whatever thing you belong to, and you have regular meetings, make sure it goes on your calendar. Likewise, all your marketing, are you regularly keeping in touch with your clients? Do you have a regular easing? And if so, when does it go out? Well, transfer it from your blueprint to your calendar, making sure that it goes out on a regular basis. So once you start to systematize, you'll see this massive momentum starting and the overwhelm will go away. So give it some time and start with the systemization and the business blueprint. That's your first key. All right, Diane wrote in, I'm having a hard time managing systems and keeping up with a business in a home business setting. So she's got a home business, a home-based business, and a difficulty treating my business as a business and not letting distractions cause me to put my business on the back burner. This is in And in the second part of the question, it was more about organizing and focusing. How do I more organize and focus? That does go back to mastering your inner entrepreneur. Remember that in the inner entrepreneur, looking at how you can work efficiently and also setting boundaries. And one of the most important things was with a at-home business, and regardless, it might even not even be an at-home business, but I notice even regular businesses with a retail office will allow themselves to get distracted, you know, because maybe their homepage is Yahoo and they start reading an article that caught their attention. Well, understand that that's what your articles are designed to do. So if that's a problem, you may want to switch what your homepage goes to something where you're not going to get that distraction. Also, when people don't have like even their social media marketing scheduled, when you're going to do it, how often you're going to do it, that also tends to suck people in. When you don't set those boundaries with other people. So whether that's, and it's interesting because sometimes when you're an at-home business, sometimes family members call you in the middle of the day because they feel you don't have a legitimate business. You're going to have to create boundaries and say, you know what, I can only accept phone calls during this time, or when they call you, say, you know what, I can't talk to you right now. I'll have to call you later. You know, it's going to be that kind of discipline that you'll need for your business to be able to set those boundaries. Another thing is when you're working together and working with other people, I've always believed in an open door policy. However, when that open door policy becomes very dysfunctional and people are coming into your, interrupting your train of thought, it's important to, again, set boundaries around that. Maybe you assign an open door time frame, open door policy between, we take questions between this and this. Time. And then that way you know you're going to expect interruptions. So you can time other activities that aren't so mental for you. Maybe it's, doing work that's maybe routine or repetitive during that time where you know you're going to get interruptions. But if it's something like writing an article and you don't want to break your train of thought in writing that article, you might want to do that in another time. But again, being able to balance some of those and setting some boundaries is going to be important in managing the systems, keeping you up with your business in a home-based setting and a retail establishment too. Other times it's helpful to develop some ground rules. Now, what ground rules are developed collectively. So if you're working in an office setting, it's helpful to develop ground rules that establish a way of working together. And they're developed collectively with everyone's input. And whenever those ground rules are violated, then, and they're numbered. So let's say you come up with a ground rule that says respect writing time. I don't know. Let's say you have a specific time that you write articles. And it's number one, respect writing time, except in major emergencies. And let's say that's number one rule, and that rule was violated. You can simply say, hey, we got ground rule number one here, and we're violating it. And it's a nice way to come back to keep everybody accountable to what everybody has agreed to. Now remember, these aren't dictatorial type of ground rules. Everybody has to provide some input when you're developing some of these ground rules. It's also helpful, too, when you're working with other people. Other people call you, develop a regular agenda. And on the Success Circle, there's something called agenda management in the document library. And with agenda management, it basically shows you a format of how to run a meeting, facilitate a meeting, and every meeting that you have, you know, has an agenda, has a purpose, and your desired outcomes. And it's amazing at what, how much more efficiently meetings become when you have that set focus. But let's say, for example, you get a call out of the blue, and somebody wants to talk to you. You've answered the phone, and they said, hey, do you got some time? Well, you know what? I do have about 10 minutes. Are we going to be able to cover it during that time? Now, that's a way of you managing it so that you're not on the phone for an extended period of time with the individual, that you get just enough information to be able to assess if you want to continue that conversation. One of the things that I do all the time with my mastermind members is say, okay, how are we going to use this time? Or how do you want to use this time? And we very specifically outline those time frames. And each particular item is grounded in a time frame. So when that time is up, we go on to the next item. That's all, again, a part of agenda management. It can actually be done on the fly. But once you get accustomed to doing this and people know that when they call you, you know, that you're managing that time, they're going to appreciate that because, you know, they'll get their answers, you'll get your, you know, and you'll be able to manage your time more effectively. So check that out in the library. Again, that's agenda management. So that works really well, Diane. I hope this answered your question. Jeremy had a question about getting started and developing the service offerings and the first customer. So Jeremy is just getting started. Jeremy, you know, there's a lot of things that new business owners really get stuck in. They get stuck in, you know, oh, I got to have a website, I got to have that legitimacy. One thing that I recommend, even before the website, is a lead generation system. And the reason for that is a lead generation system is a lot simpler. It's one page, and it's a way of attracting your ideal clients. So the first step is you have to know who your ideal client is, or your preferred client. And by going through the preferred client profile in the Entrepreneurial Edge System self-study program, if you didn't attend the live event, is important because that's going to hone in on who your target market is. But more importantly, it also asks them, because the second step in a process in a lead generation system is to ask them what their biggest struggle or frustration is. So once you're very clear on your ideal client or your preferred client, then you're asking them for information. A lot of consultants make the mistake of creating a service of offerings before they even know what their prospects really truly want and need. And that's kind of, you know, wasting a lot of time up front when you don't even know what that is and you're kind of guessing. But when you identify your target market and then they start to tell you, because you're asking, hey, you know, what is your biggest struggle? And they start to tell you, now you can start developing your service offerings, because now you have ongoing market data that's telling you, I really, you know, this is my biggest frustration, this is what I need, and then you can develop your service offerings. And it's more effective too, because as you use even their language, so as they answer the question, what is your biggest frustration or struggle, they're going to tell you, and then you use their language when you've developed that program around their biggest frustration or struggle. And now they're going to be tied into that marketing message. It's going to be very mesmerizing for them. Why? Because you're honing in. It's like you're talking to them. That's going to be really key, Jeremy, to make sure that, you know, in developing your service offerings, first identify your preferred prospect. Get really clear on who that is. number one. Number two, then your lead generation system comes into play. In that, make sure you also have a stay-in-touch vehicle, a way to stay in touch with them, too, as you bring them in the door through your lead generation system. So those are some things that I also recommend that you do, Jeremy, and remember to schedule your laser coaching call so we can talk through that. Donna had a question about what tips do you have in marketing services? Again, that kind of, Donna, that goes back to Jeremy's question about getting clear on your preferred client. Your marketing mix is going to depend on who your preferred client is. If you know who that is, they will when you know who your preferred client is and you can go after them, you'll know what their habits are, what blogs they read, what magazines they read, where they hang out. And when you know all that information about them, then it becomes much more clear to you on how to market your services. Okay, Doug sent in a question. How do I systematically find out ways to enroll prospects and have them learn about the features and benefits of the services and company that I represent, and prompting them to contact me to meet in person? Well, this is all about the lead generation system and the seal the deal system. Those two are within the Entrepreneurial Edge system. And what that means is, Doug, is take a look at that area of the self-study program, because I don't think you were at the live events, and review those areas, because when you bring them in through your lead generation system, there's a specific order that you also want to have in that system to be able to seal the deal and have them look at your area, your offerings, the things that you offer. Now, as they come in through your lead generation system, you're going to get market data from them because you're asking them what their biggest struggle is. And then they come into that's kind of the beginning of your sales funnel. Then you have their information because they gave it to you during the lead generation in your lead generation system. So you have the information now. What do you do with it? How often do you touch base with them? What high content are you giving them? Usually no less than on a weekly basis. No less than a weekly basis. Could be every other week, but I do recommend on a weekly basis. So as you're giving them content on a weekly basis, you're going to provide more content. They're going to become accustomed to you. And also it's going to then weave them into potentially maybe an upsell or another product, or it could lead them to your main website. Well, on your main website, it's got to be clear what the first step is or what options are available to them. Now, if you want to talk to them and schedule, like, a get acquainted or a discovery session or whatever, your strategy session, whatever you call that first step, it's important that you make that very clear on your website so there's no guessing games. But again, it's important to understand, what's your sales funnel? What does that sales funnel look like? So if they come in through your lead generation system, what's the next step? Where do they go? So flow charting that out is sometimes a helpful process. But what if they come in through a workshop that you do? Then where do they go? Or if they come in through a webinar or teleseminar that you do, then what's the next step? But again, having that very clear in your mind is going to be critical to knowing how to bring them in, how to educate them, and then ultimately what action they take to meet with you. So once you have that all flow charted out, it'll become very clear and they will start following that process. Okay, we've got a couple more questions here before I open it up. And feel free to ask any questions as you're on the phone. Everyone's on conference mode right now, but I will be opening it up in a minute here. Okay. Eric emailed in, my biggest struggle is making sure the business is getting enough visibility and making sure that I have a steady stream of customers. What do you recommend to get the biggest visibility? And it looks like Eric has a fitness company. First of all, the visibility depends on what your marketing mix is. What is your marketing mix? Does it include social media? If it does, what is your system for social media? How often are you doing it? If it is referral marketing, how often are you doing it? What's your plan for it? If you have a lead generation system, how is that funneling through? So visibility is a product of systematization. And making sure that it's going off like clockwork. Visibility doesn't necessarily mean, you know, placing an ad and getting in front of 250,000 people, because there are so many messages. What's important is that your messaging is targeted and that your messaging is getting in front of your prospects where they hang out. And so instead of casting a really wide net, make sure that you're putting your marketing energy, your marketing dollars, your marketing time where your prospects hang out. If you don't know where they hang out, then ask your existing clientele. Asking your existing clientele, hey, what, you know, we're doing a survey. Now remember, if you do any kind of survey, it's important to give back. So if they're giving you their opinion, give them something in return. That often entices people to give you their opinion, whether it's, you know, what they read, where they hang out, what their favorite, do they drink coffee? You know, what are some of their habits? Do they hang out in coffee shops? If so, which ones? Also, take a look at those referral businesses too. If you're, for example, if you're in fitness, think about some of the other places where people who go to a fitness place hang out. So chances are they're concerned with their health. So they're going to be going to hair salons. They're concerned with their image. So they're going to be going, obviously, to hair salons. Look at who you can partner with. And this goes for anybody who's on the call. You want to look for businesses who cater to the same target market that you do but are not competitors. So a fitness center would go to maybe a massage therapist area. You could also think about, rehabilitation companies too. You could, partner with them. So think about the different places that your clients would also hang out and other businesses that they would patronize as well. So I hope that was helpful to everyone, and I'm going to open it up in case there are some additional questions today that I can answer, so hang on the line. Now remember, if you are going to ask a question, to make sure if you are muted, star 6. If you start 6, then star 6 again to unmute yourself. And I'd be happy to take any questions. Or expand on anything that I've already covered. Okay. Oh, hi, Marla. Mm-hmm. You said the majority of your business is counseling, but you also offer other services too, right? Well, first of all, have you asked them? Well, I mean, you can encourage people to go on there. Also, is there a draw to why people would want to like your page? So, maybe, you know, what you can say is, you know, we post our articles that are on there. We have updates on there. So, you know, I don't know if you do a client appreciation day or anything of that nature, but or you know, post articles that would be of interest. And so ask yourselves, what could you do? I mean, it's not about, you know, people liking your page because they go necessarily to your services, but they could like your page because they get content from there, useful content. And it could be things like how to deal with stress. Did you find them yet? Would you say that some of your clients are, you know, how much would you say your clients are in their 50s, for example? Did you know that that was the fastest growing population on Facebook? What you could do is every time you post a blog, then do a link to your fan page that says, hey, we just posted a brand new, you know, brand new article on our blog about thus and so, and then do a link. Now, remember, Marla, that there are tools to help you systematize this. So let me give you some examples. There's Hootsuite, by the way, Hootsuite. Oh, exactly. Right. That's it. And then also, you know your strategy for your Facebook fan page too. Now, a lot of it might seem like a lot of work because you've got to look at your, why are you on Facebook? I mean, if you do indeed serve that population that's on Facebook, and that's where you find your clients, then that's the place you need to be. Don't get discouraged, though, if you're slow to grow that fan page. I mean, is that kind of where you're feeling right now, that it's going a little too slow? Hello? Did we lose Marla? Oh, did we lose ya? No, it's okay. Oh, no, that's okay. Well, no, I mean, that's sometimes what happens is people get on. I would not recommend that you get off completely or shut down your fan page, but you might need to take a step back and say, okay, wait a minute. What is our strategy here, and who are we trying to attract? What do we want the content to be? Because, I mean, you do have a reality there that some people may not want to like the page because of the confidentiality factor. But as you grow your business into other areas, then your counseling center becomes more than just counseling. People are going there for other reasons. And then when they do, you want them to connect with you so that you have a venue for them to talk about how great they were helped by going there. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes it's just, you know, you've got to try new things too. But yeah, I mean, the only way, though, that you're going to draw people in that you're working with is, you know, even having a sign up in your office that says, hey, like our fan page, we, you know, provide, you know, all of our, you know, get the latest updates on blogs that we have and through Facebook. So, yeah, just because somebody likes a page doesn't necessarily mean, you know, they're going there, first of all, because other people have liked your page that don't go to there, but they might like the content that you provide, especially if you start providing content that's high value, meaning, you know, so you know, how do you balance, you know, when the weather's really nice for the summertime, you know, what about a blog on how to balance, you know, a work-life balance when, you know, the sun's shining, or how to reduce stress, or some of those things that I think a lot of people on Facebook would like to even read about that would be of interest. Sure. That's all right. Is that it? How do you feel about Facebook now? Right. You know, there's a couple of things that are going to help you. First of all, if you, what do you have your blog on? Is your blog on WordPress? Okay, great. Now, you can do that, too, with, well, you used to be able to do that with Facebook. But you can, yeah, they did a few changes recently on the upgrade, so, but I've used Posterous, Posterous.com, and what I've done with that is linked it to my WordPress. So not only does it go to Posterous, it goes to my WordPress automatically, and all you have to do is send an email. So it's rather quite easy to update because you just send an email. And then from there, it sounds like you've got your plugins to automatically go to LinkedIn. So that should work for you. Yeah. So once you get that all systematized, it'll be a lot easier. And then you'll also have your patients and the people that use your services will also be putting things on there, so it'll be a lot easier. You'll be able to have some conversations. Also think about that too, Marla, is creating a conversation on Facebook. Start creating conversation like, what's your best stress-relieving activity that you have, you know, or that works for you, or something like that. Again, just creating an awareness and creating those topics that people can engage in, especially on Facebook. Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. Because that's really what Facebook is about, is more creating that connection, that relationship, and LinkedIn. Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just going to say LinkedIn is more about the business professional and less about a lot of conversation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Well, make a list of how many more do you need? Okay. Okay, well, make a list of 20, you know, make a list, well, not because not all 25 are the people that you ask, but, you know, of maybe your closest friends or your family or people that you know that you have good relationships with, and ask them to like your fan page. Just send an email and say, hey, we're trying to get a vanity page here, and we'd really like it if you help us do that. Would you please like us? Like our page. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's take it from thinking to action. So, are you committed to doing that, Marla? There you go. It's, you know, no, that's okay. No, you didn't. You were fine. It was fine. I want to make no, I don't think so. I don't think so. But we can take more questions, but I just want to make sure that I've answered yours. Okay. So your to-do is going to be what, and when are you going to do it by? Okay. That's right. Okay. Okay. So by the end of the week, you'll come up with all 25 or 30. Okay. Do you want to email me at the end of the week and let me know how you've done? We'll get you 30 by the end of the week. Great. Well, thank you, Marla. I appreciate your questions. So, you know, this is why I like people to come on live, because, you know, you're going to get a lot more, obviously, done quicker and accelerate your business results quicker by being on the call live. Because, you know, there's, you know, if you don't do it, nobody's going to do it. And then nobody's going to know about your services, right? So, you know, you know what you need to do. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Of course. No problem. What other questions do we have? Nobody has any questions. Well, and don't forget, you might be muted, so if you're star 6, don't forget, you might be star 6. Nobody? Going once. Don't be shy. All right. Well, we're going to, I think, call it at this point. The Q&A call is now completed. I want to thank everybody for coming on, and thank you for your live questions. Remember, The recording of this is going to be available by tomorrow morning, usually by 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and you can, again, get it on the Success Circle site. So thank you all for showing up today, and I appreciate your questions also that you emailed in. So I want to thank everybody, and until next time, create a great life. Bye, everyone.
Bye.